The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Every time I turn on, you know, ESPN or something right now, you know, you've got Stephen A. Smith going off about you. And there's been a lot of heat, national heat on you this week. I'm just wondering what your approach is to that. Are you listening to it? Are you blocking it out? Are you letting it get to you? How are you handling it?
I don't give a damn what they say. It's within this building. We know we can be better. I know I can be better. And that's how it's going to be handled. The outside noise doesn't matter. They get paid to talk. We get paid to do our work. So that's how it's going to be handled.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to First Take here at the Seaport Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. We're having a little party on the rooftop and no bottle service. Damian Woody did show up, though, looking clean.
Okay,
A tie bar,
everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's not playing.
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Little pocket square, I'm used
to seeing you with the jerseys and the columns or in the corner of your house.
I was banished to a little dark place in the house, but now I'm here in studio.
Looking like Scarface originally in that house, and then the kid said, nah, Dad.
Go sit in the corner. Right. Yeah. Listen, man, I'm going to tell you something right now. Okay.
What?
I'm sitting at the crib watching TV.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you on with some shades talking about me and the spouse, man.
That's
like,
right.
I don't appreciate
what?
That.
If you got
things to say to me,
first of all, you need to say them when I'm here. He knows good. First of all, Stephen A. always respect the wife. Okay. I respect the wife. He's the mom. He's the whole bit. But let me be very clear. He is in no position to talk. I am sitting at home minding my business.
Okay.
I am chilling, okay? And who FaceTimed me because the wife wanted to jump on to go off for me about the Cowboys. This man is married to a Cowboy
fan. Wait, is your wife a Cowboy fan?
Yes, she is.
Is that not true?
Did you not call me? Say what now?
She from Texas?
No, she's from Virginia.
But
my thing is, it had nothing to do with me.
Excuse me.
So what she did, that's her business.
Hold on, you don't have to be jumping on me. Hold on. My point is, you the one that FaceTimed me, A. B, you the one that come on TV sticking out your chest, bloviate like you the man, and sick the wife on me. The wife, he sat up there and FaceTimed me, Max. I'm sitting there, what's up, Dave? What's going on? And the wife pops up. You better stop talking about those
about
Cowboys.
This?
You wait and see. You ain't going to win, Steven. Now, when the Cowboys stuck up the joint, Monday night, I didn't hear from Mrs. Woody then. I didn't hear anything. I couldn't spot her. I didn't find him. So I had to call both y'all out, the Woody family out. I have no regrets. I was not disrespectful. I was just pointing out facts. You understand? You don't call me when you got something to say or the wife and then hide when the Cowboys did what I told her. Did I not tell her what they were going to do? Did I not tell her what was going to happen? Yes or no?
I mean, this that's ain't not got fair. This ain't got to
do with Stephen A., try this one. He came on and talked about you calling out him and his wife. If you say something like that, say it to his face, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then in the next breath, you're talking about, hey, what my wife does has nothing to do with me.
Throw her under the bus.
Right under the bus.
That's kind of weak, man.
He's basically saying his wife runs the show, because you all know that's what it is.
I understand that. All I'm saying is that he did kind of throw her under. Do I have to come to her defense? I mean, I thought you would do that.
I'm just trying to get him in some trouble.
I know that. I tried to get him in trouble. I ain't gonna lie.
You know where you're going to go, right back in that little corner.
Yeah, I'm going to be banished.
You wish for that corner now.
All right, now I forgot all about Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
So basically, Stephen A., you heard the reporter.
Yeah.
Oh, every time I turn on the TV, all I hear is Stephen A. chirping.
Right.
Well, she didn't say it like that.
Right.
But what's your reaction to Baker's response that he doesn't give a damn what anyone says?
Well, first of all, I thought it was the appropriate response. I have no problem with what Baker Mayfield said. I thought I was going to have a problem with what Baker Mayfield said until I heard what he actually said. You know, let me be very delicate in what I'm about to say. I think Mary Kay Cabot is an exceptional reporter. She does a great job
for
in
sure.
Cleveland. I've been reading her for years. But with all due respect, Mrs. Mary Kay Cabot, I mean, why are you mentioning me for? She said me. I'm sorry, Mac. I mean, I understand. I am Stephen A. I get all that. But I mean, damn. I mean, and who hasn't gone off about Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, but you go off, but you go off on another level.
Excuse me. No, I actually, when it comes to Baker Mayfield, I beg to differ. You need to watch NFL Live more. You need to watch Monday Night. I should say Monday Night Football because they ain't make it there. I mean, the bottom line is when you see Sunday night, when you see, I don't know, SVP, if it's Ryan Clark, if it's Damian Woody, if it's Lewis Riddick, if it's Dan Orlovsky, I mean, do I need to go on? Mary Kay, what you mentioning me for? Why me? I don't mind, but damn. Listen, if you're talking about criticism towards Baker Mayfield, let's take things into this proper consideration here. He looked god-awful against Pittsburgh. They're not winning because of him in Cleveland. They're winning in spite of him. Baker Mayfield doesn't need to give a damn about me or what I have to say or any other NFL, you know, or any other person. They're NFL aficionados. I am not. But I got two eyes. I got 20/20 vision. I see you dancing in the pocket the second your first option isn't available to you. I see that happening. I'm wondering why Kevin Stefanski isn't calling Odell Beckham Jr.'s name more. You know that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to want out. You know that Jarvis Landry is going to go out. You got guys at 4-2 complaining about the team. Why would that be the case if you're happy with your quarterback? A rhetorical question for a second here. Do you know of any team with a winning record in NFL history that has a quarterback that is considered pretty damn good and the receiver is complaining? Because I got news for you. That usually doesn't happen. They're complaining about their contract. They might want the ball more.
Well, the receiver's not complaining. We're complaining.
What I'm saying is this. Odell, Jarvis, and others,
yeah.
The bottom line is ain't nobody happy there because they know that Baker Mayfield don't look like he's ready.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that you've won four games against the Cincinnati Bengals in your career. Your record is about 4-1. Don't get me started with what your record is against everybody else. The reality is that he has not been that good. He has to get better. He's gotten entirely too much shine. It has been undeserved, and he doesn't have to give a damn about me or what I have to say or anybody else. I completely support that thinking. What I would ask, however, is that rather than chirp, because he can give me a run for my money when it comes to that, because he chirps a lot, and he's actually doing a better job than it because he gets commercials on top of it. I deserve what I get paid because I get paid to chirp. He gets paid to play football, and he chirps better than he plays football right now. That is a fact. So I would say to him, get it together. Nobody's rooting against Baker Mayfield. But I remember when he was at Oklahoma, Max, and this is one of the things that actually turned me off because when, you know, you talk about me, I'm coming for you. You see what I'm saying? So I did my little research there this morning. Oh, he got something to say. Let me look up some things here. And you know, one of the things I remember this irritated me. Baker Mayfield's having a press conference when he's at Oklahoma. And he's sitting there crying. And Lincoln Riley is too. Why? Because Baker Mayfield grabbed his crotch during the game, got called on a carpet for it, and got benched. Are you ready for this, Molly? Ready for this, Damian? Max? For 2 minutes. 2 minutes. He sat down for 2 minutes.
Man, those are crocodile tears going on.
Are you really kidding me? I'm just saying, this is what I'm talking about here. So I'm like this. This is what we're talking about. Everything is always overblown when it comes to this guy. The bottom line is, Baker Mayfield, you are not a scrub. He can play. But you are the number one overall pick. You damn sure don't look like it. Your team is 4-2, and they still ain't happy because they know you ain't what you're supposed to be and what you've been marketed to be. That's the reality of the situation. Say what you want about me. but I've earned my shine. So, I wish he'll do the same.
So, first of all, I like Baker's response a lot. He didn't bring up your name. Someone else did, and he said...
That's right.
And he actually was very respectful. He said, I don't give a damn what anyone thinks that's what he's supposed to say. Then he said, those guys get paid to do what they do, so he's respectful of it.
Is that not how I took it?
Yeah. I think Baker's attitude right now is exactly right. He can be better, and he knows. He said he could be much better. Here's the rub for Baker, and this is what I was talking about all last year. If Odell and them start thinking he's not a baller, it's a problem. Here's the problem for Baker. Ryan Clark was the first to really bring it up like this. It's worse than like we care too much or anything like that. We don't think you can do much better. We do believe Baker can do better than he's done, but not much better. You know why, like, I'm passionate when I talk about Carson Wentz? I think Carson Wentz can do much better. I believe in Carson Wentz's talent. Mm-hmm. I haven't given up on his elite-level talent. That's why I hold him to that standard. Ryan Clark said it. He's like, he's just all right. I don't believe in Baker Mayfield's talent anymore. His arm is good enough, and he's accurate enough. He's not processing information quickly enough, and he's not fast enough to outrun anyone, so he's just okay. And if he works really hard at it, he'll be a little better. But there's a cap on the ceiling and therefore a cap on how much I care. And that's nothing against his attitude. He has a very good attitude right now, I think. It's just a worse kind of verdict, I think, that we've all come to, a conclusion we've come to about his talent.
I think part of it, too, and I just kind of want to redirect this for a second. Obviously, they're coming off a horrible loss to your Steelers, Stephen A., so you're paying very close attention to that game. But, Damian, are we being too hard on him? When we do look at the record, I understand he didn't beat incredible teams, but they are 4-2.
They are 4-2. Make no mistake about it. You are what your record says you are. But here's the problem. Who have they beaten? You've got mollywopped by the Pittsburgh Steelers, your arch rivals. Mm-hmm. That series has not been competitive in years. In years.
17.
Here's the problem with the Cleveland Browns, you know, with Baker Mayfield and basically the Cleveland Browns in general. They do a lot of yapping. Kareem Hunt going into the game last week was doing a bunch of yapping about the Pittsburgh Steelers and what he was going to do to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you know the Pittsburgh Steelers like, okay, we hear you. Okay, y'all doing all this yapping, all this talking, but y'all got to come see us on the field. And at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters is what you do on the field. And Pittsburgh Steelers just, again, wiped the floor with the Cleveland Browns. For me, the bigger thing is I don't have a problem with what Baker Mayfield said. He said exactly what he's supposed to say. I think my bigger problem with the Cleveland Browns, they do too much talking and not enough doing. That's the problem with the Cleveland Browns, whether it's Kareem Hunt or whether it's Baker Mayfield in the past or whether it's, other people.
Yeah.
Stop all the talking. Go out there and make things happen when it needs to happen on the football
field. Damian, here's the problem. Who instigated that? That would be Baker Mayfield. We didn't hear any chirping from the Cleveland Browns before Baker Mayfield arrived. Let's call it what it is. This man is, 16-19 as a starter? Take away the Cincinnati Bengals, and his record against the NFL is 12-18 as a starter. Okay? You wanted Hugh Jackson gone. Obviously, deservedly so. The record speaks for itself. He had to go. You didn't have to insist on Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens went from a positional coach to an offensive coordinator to an NFL head coach in 8 months. I ask you, has that ever happened in NFL history? The answer is no. Baker Mayfield wanted that man because he worked for you, but he didn't work for the team. It showed itself last year. You got a new coach in there
now.
Looks
like they got the right coach now.
And I think they got the right coach.
Kirk Cousins wish he had him back as offensive coordinator.
This is so good, and I'm sorry to cut you guys off. We'll continue this conversation at a later date, but we got more I want to get into.
But I'm not offended by what he said.
No, not at all. And it wasn't at all. There's so much star power on that team. That's so much hype. So technically, they haven't lived up.
I would have said the same thing if I was him.
They said 4-2 feels like 0-6 in the locker room.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right, the NFL suspended AB for the first 8 games of the season for issues off the field, but with the suspension coming to an end after week 8, the Seahawks are making a push to sign AB. That according to our Adam Schefter. Damian Woody still here with us, but Max, I'm going to start with you.
Yep.
How confident are you that Antonio Brown could last the entire season? The whole season, all the games with the Seahawks.
Not confident at all. Because all the confidence would come from, as everyone keeps talking about, is, well, you know, he has to know that this is the last chance. After everything he's been through, you would think, if I were him, I'm not confident at all. Because we've said that many times before about Antonio Brown. Think of how much rationalizing we've all done. First, when he forced his way out of Pittsburgh, what's he doing? Oh, he's crazy like a fox. He got paid. And as soon as he got paid, what did he do? He never got on the field. He never even got on the field with an organization that just seemed to support him. From the front office to the coach to the other players, all they're saying is good things about him. And then he's like, he's throwing them all under the bus and acting a fool. And he gets, and then Stephen A. kept saying he had to shut his mouth till when, Stephen A.?
Tuesday.
And
it was like, a Thursday, and he needed to shut his mouth.
This is the most unbelievable story of all time. Say it again.
It was a Thursday. All he had to do was shut the hell up until that Tuesday, and he would have been guaranteed his $29
million.
$29 million, life-changing, Thursday, generational Tuesday. Wealth.
You can't shut up for 4 days?
Oh, my God.
He couldn't
God.
Do it. And then he throws everyone under the bus and almost tries to, like, break the law doing it, right? He's recording people against without their knowledge, and he's releasing stuff about Juju Smith-Schuster, thinking it makes him look bad. When really it's just Juju being humble and saying he looks up to him and stuff. Like, his judgment is so out of whack. And then he's posting stuff on social media about his personal life that makes him look worse. And he's doing it in a way because he feels like he's the victim. Then he winds up in New England and on the way in the door makes the same mistake, puts in writing, even if he feels he's being extorted and he doesn't think he's guilty of some crime. What he put in writing is stupid, if not just mean, right? What are you sending to those women?
Yeah.
But also doubly stupid because he just got in trouble for it. He did it again on the way in the door in New England. And then on the way out the door again, he throws Robert Kraft under. Like, he can't stop burning bridges. So now we think, okay. And then he gets suspended and everything. Now we're thinking, okay, he has to know. Remember, he enrolled in school and then he put on social media that he was looking for someone to do his paper for him? Like, Antonio Brown, the only reason we're interested in you is because you are great, like one of the best ever at football. You had all this time off. You're going to show everyone what you did. Did you compose a symphony? Did you write a book? Like, what did you do? Did you organize in the community? Did you do something that's going to last? Did you start a record label that had any success? Like, anything at all? Like, was there any contribution made to the larger culture to show everyone we should be interested in you for another reason? So, like, no, I have zero confidence, zero, that he'll last the season. And anyone who does have confidence is just basing that on the idea that, damn, he's got to have learned his lesson by now. I've thought that before. I won't get burned again.
It's not that I think that, Max. I think the situation will dictate it. I don't think Seattle, that works. I think you're absolutely right because they have weapons where they don't have to prioritize him in order to be successful. And I think that's where he'll fall off the rails. I think if he were to go to some place like Baltimore, where you're competing, you're winning football games, you could obviously be the difference. And you're clearly going to be the number one target for Lamar Jackson when he elects to throw that football. I believe under those circumstances, there's a possibility that he can survive and last the season. Number one, because he's a primary option. Number two, because they're winning. Number three, because he's highly motivated because he's in the same division as his former team, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers, in the same conference as the Oakland Raiders. So you might feel like you have scores to settle. All of those things, I think, are the best case scenario for him surviving. I'm not saying definitively that he would.
But if you want to look at a situation and think, okay, what's the best chance that this guy has for lasting the entire season? It has to be with some place where he's needed as the primary option, because you're going to prioritize him, and that would feed his ego. That would not happen in Seattle, because that's DK Metcalf. That's going to be the primary target for Russell Wilson, and that ain't going to work there. In Baltimore, with Patrick Mahomes, you having to go up against Kansas City and those boys, if you're Baltimore, that's where you need an Antonio Holmes.
Well, I mean,
Antonio Brown.
Well, listen, in Seattle, he would just be a luxury.
Yes.
You know, he would be a luxury. And I'm always – like, I always pump the brakes of kind of bringing in pieces into your locker room that are questionable when things are going well. Yeah. Seattle Seahawks 5-0. They got issues on defense, but now you want to enter in a person that has a very sketchy past, has blown up in multiple organizations. Might I say, some of the what we call blue chip organizations in the National Football League, and he's found a way to run himself out the building. If I'm Seattle, I know you got Pete Carroll. I know you got Russell Wilson. But why would you want to introduce that when things are going well right now? The problems are on the defense side of football, not on the offensive side of football. And let me ask you guys a question. When was the last time we've seen meaningful football from Antonio Brown?
Couple years.
The last time I checked, you only get good at football by playing football. You've been out of football for basically two years. And I get it. I understand Antonio Brown has a great work ethic. But, man, he hasn't played meaningful football since 2018.
Stephen A., hold on. I want to answer something you had to say. At first, it sounded good to me. Stephen A. is right. If he's just an extra part, it's not going to work. But if he's the primary, I think it's actually the opposite now that I'm thinking about it. You don't want to give this dude too much leverage. Maybe it works out better in Seattle, because what you said, like, jogged that thought in my head. Maybe it works out better in Seattle because he's a luxury, because he knows he's expendable. If you put him in a situation...
Is he going to know he's expendable,
But if you put him in a situation where he's getting all these targets every game and he takes you to the next level, that gives him leverage.
Well, I would say this to you. I watched him. Let's give LeBron James and him a plug here. Their show, The Shop, on HBO, Maverick Carter. It's a good show. Executive producer and Antonio Brown was there. And he was basically giving you some background on where he came from. He ain't playing second fiddle to nobody, not in his mind and in his heart. And to be honest with you, because he's so electrifying, you almost can't blame him if he believes he's the best in the world, because he has shown us in the past that he was. The reason why I hold on to that is because he ain't going to go any place and perceive himself as being second fiddle, which I think would be problematic for him when he's on that football field and he ain't getting the football. If you're in some place like Baltimore, even though we respect the Mark Andrews of the world and others, we know good and damn well that if Antonio Brown goes there, he justifiably will be the number one target for Lamar Jackson when Lamar Jackson elects to throw that
football. But would you want to put him in that position?
Well, again,
that's what I'm saying. My thing. Would you want to put Antonio Brown in a position where he's the number one guy?
Me personally, I would be uncomfortable with it, but I've already seen the creme de la creme in Kansas City, and I'm thinking about what it's going to take to beat them. And I'm going like this, okay, standing pat, we can challenge them, but they already handed it to us earlier this season. We understand that, and we're talking and lamenting Lamar Jackson throwing the football come postseason time. Well, maybe he needs a better primary target. We roll the dice. We take a chance. We go for it, because the worst-case scenario is we get rid of his behind to Antonio Brown if he ends up being too big of a distraction, and we go back to what we are.
You know what that's like a little bit, although it's a different sport, and he didn't misbehave like Antonio Brown did? Dennis Rodman on the Bulls. The Bulls got Dennis Rodman. They needed him, and it gave him some leverage. And by the way,
he wasn't that dude.
But also, Jordan. Sometimes he'd take off, and he went to Vegas, and he wasn't there. You had to put up with a lot.
And when he did not come back, when Jordan said he wasn't going to come back, it was Jordan that knocked on the door to go get him.
Lamar or Russell Wilson going to have to go get Antonio Brown.
And that ain't Russell Wilson's makeup. That would be somebody like Lamar Jackson. Come on. And, I mean, if you listen to him and Antonio Brown, the damn near sound alike. It's just that we know Lamar Jackson's a much better person. Come on, dude. Let's go, man. Come on, man. Go back to work.
I'm not touching this.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. All right, y'all, with his quarterback one out for the season, Ezekiel Elliott apologized to his team for his less than great performance during Monday night's loss to the Cardinals. When asked about his leadership, here's what Zeke had to say.
I think without Zach around, or at least without him around all the time, do you feel like you have to change your leadership style at all with this team?
I think I do a little need to, just because, you know, Dak carries so much of that role, and you know, I think that has to be filled. You know, I'm supposed to be a guy that this team, this offense can rely on and lean on when things get rough. And, you know, I just wasn't that last Monday night. And, you know, and I was sorry that I promised that I'm going to turn things around for this team.
Max, I want to put it this way. Zeke's had a bit of a checkered past, but at the same time, we've all done very stupid things in our 20s, right? But how confident are you that he can mature, he can become a leader of this team, especially when Dak Prescott now isn't there and they need someone to step up?
Ideally, he would be the guy because he's the best player on the offense, or should be. They drafted him fourth overall, and he showed very poor judgment at different times. It was like, not like major criminal type stuff, but stuff where you're like, come on, man, you're in the public eye. You got to be smarter than that. As you said, he's in his early 20s. Anyone in their early 20s with cameras on them all the time, if you never get into any trouble, you're a special kind of
person. Interjecting here, he was accused of some serious stuff at Ohio State.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me. Yes. I'm thinking about the pros. Pardon me. You're right. He was accused of serious stuff at Ohio State. Pardon me.
Thank you for mentioning that.
That's right.
Because I don't want to be...
I'm thinking about
woman on TV blowing that off as well.
Yeah, yeah, no question.
So thank you.
Yeah, okay. No question. I was thinking about on the Dallas Cowboys.
Got it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's why I interjected.
So he's shown poor judgment, at least, in the past. And he hasn't played well recently compared to his status as an elite player.
Right.
And the O-line isn't there even to help him. On the other hand, let me tell you a couple things I have noticed about him. He was a clutch player, I always felt, in college. I thought when the game meant more, he played better. He played like he gave the team what they needed. What his team needs now is that leadership from him. At the very least, by example on the field, stop coughing the ball up. Make some plays happen even when the line doesn't open up holes.
Right.
They're going to need him to do that because, Stephen A., they got no defense. They don't seem to have much coaching. They don't have leadership, and right now they don't have a quarterback. It's going to fall on Zeke?
Well, it's definitely going to fall on Zeke, and I applaud him for, first of all, let's applaud him for a couple of things. Number one, immediately upon fumbling, you know, twice on Sunday, Monday rather than giving up back-to-back touchdowns, essentially giving up back-to-back touchdowns to the Arizona Cardinals because they scored touchdowns on both of the times he fumbled. He immediately owned it after the game. He took responsibility and culpability for the loss. Let's give him credit for that, number one. Number two, let's give him credit again yesterday for acknowledging that he has to step up and take more of a leadership role because Dak Prescott has usually been that guy. But now that he's gone, he has to play an elevated yet more different role. The fact that he knows that in a matter of days is a huge, huge thing because clearly that's what the situation entails. Here's what I think that we all need to, and I shouldn't say we, Ezekiel Elliott needs to understand. This is what his situation is, and he's got to answer the call himself. Are you really that dude, or are you a product of a massive elite offensive line? Because for years we've been talking about the Dallas Cowboys, and we've bragged about the offensive line, how from, you know, Travis Frederick and Zach Collins and Leo Collins, rather, and all of these guys. You look at these guys, and here he is, his first year, yards per game. Ezekiel Elliott averaged 108.7, 98.3, 95.6. Last year was 84.8. He's going down every year, but not that big of a deal because it was still respectable. You know what is that now, Max? 68.8.
Yep.
That's a really precipitous drop-off. And so when you look at it from that perspective, and you have the number one offense in yards, and you have the number one passing attack in the NFL, at least until Dak Prescott went down, the reality is that there's a huge question mark about Ezekiel Elliott now. Because, Max, I'll bring up a point you made. I was talking about Ezekiel Elliott as the best running back, him or Derrick Henry in football. You brought up Saquon Barkley, right? And we talked about his elusivity or whatever. But I said, this dude, Ezekiel Elliott, hits the gap, does what he's supposed to do. He's running north to south. This is what he does, okay? Now we're seeing you look a little bit vulnerable now. And that elusivity that we relied upon when we talked about Saquon Barkley, you clearly don't have that. But you're certainly not even a Derrick Henry, who right now is the best running back in football, plain and simple. So all of these questions.
Well, Saquon and McCaffrey are hurt.
I know that. I know that. But what I'm saying is right now when we look at Ezekiel Elliott, you got to answer that call. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have to answer it first by protecting the football, holding on to football, not fumbling the damn football. And outside of that, he is averaging 4.1 yards a carry. He's never averaged less than 4.1 yards a carry in his career. He's not doing that now, but the bottom line is you're going to have to show up, you're going to have to step up and produce.
I think he will.
Really what
he really showed humility, I think, with that apology there.
Yeah, I would say this. They always say, all the smart people in football, never pay the running back. That's why people, like we talked about, they should be a running back exception. Or running backs should get special consideration in the CBA because of the position gets so screwed over by this. But all the smart people say don't pay him. And I've even made the argument it's okay to draft them very high. And the reason you can draft them with a high pick is because they're immediately productive. It takes very little time for them to get used to the league, right? Ezekiel Elliott was a star his rookie season. Saquon Barkley, star his rookie season. All these guys. And on their rookie deals, they give you all this production. And by the time the rookie deal's over, they're 24, 25. They've been grinded down. And you could say, well, you only got two or three more years ahead of you. Why should we pay you? They paid Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe it was a mistake.
Let me interject, because I want to throw something by you, and I want your opinion on this. This is just my thought process. You know what I would like to see happen for running backs? Something you alluded to, but I'm going to modify it just a bit. I would like to see there be a cap exception when it comes to running backs. You can exceed it. You know how in the NBA you got Larry Bird, right, stuff like that.
Yeah.
In the NFL, I'd love to see a cap exception, something along those lines where you're allowed to exceed the cap in order to pay running backs. And you know where you cover yourself if you're an NFL owner? You could pay a running back whatever you want on one-year deals.
Yeah.
Because when I think about a guy like Derrick Henry, if I remember correctly, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think he signed for somewhere around 10-plus million a year, all right, around 10 million or so. We know he's worth more than that based on what he did last year.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see Derrick Henry get $20 million for this one season. And then you come back after this one season and say, okay, what are you worth now? Yeah. I'd love to see a running back treated that way.
That's an interesting
idea. You don't want to give them a long-term deal, but you want them to get their money year to year.
That's an interesting idea, and they could go to the highest bidder, and the market would tell you who they thought the best would be this upcoming season. Le'Veon Bell contract, mistake, yes or no?
Yes.
Clearly, right? Todd Gurley contract.
But it's a mistake, but is it his fault?
No,
or
no.
Gase?
I'm saying? I'm saying, but still, Todd Gurley contract, mistake, yes or no?
Yes.
It's a mistake.
He got injured.
Ezekiel Elliott, that's open to question. Like, here is where he can show that, okay, in my case, I'm the exception
it's
that proves the rule.
It's a pivotal moment, for
it
sure.
It is a pivotal moment for
him. And
no
for question. Him, Molly,
yeah.
He ain't hurt at all, so there's really no excuse.
Yep. And I think he's aware of that. Guys, I want to get into another story and get your opinion. This one's really important to me here. So New York City's mayor, Bill de Blasio, has a really tough decision to make. The Mets stadium lease with the city allows him to block the sale of any new owner who has been involved in a felony. Billionaire Steve Cohen was never personally charged with the crime, but in 2013, his securities firm pleaded guilty to securities fraud and wire fraud. If de Blasio rejects the sale to Cohen, and the New York Daily News is reporting he's not expected to do so, that would open the possibility of the sale to Jennifer Lopez, who would become the first female minority owner of a professional sports team in partnership with her fiancé, Alex Rodriguez. The sale of the New York Mets team to Steve Cohen is set to be voted on by MLB owners in November. So let me set this up by saying this. Obviously, both of you are New Yorkers. And why I say this is so important to me, and we know this city is a melting pot, is because we just saw with Jeannie Buss, we saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, we saw Magic Johnson point out, Max, that little girls everywhere, you have three little girls, can now look up to Jeannie Buss and say, I can be an owner. She was the first ever female owner to win a championship. Now we potentially have Jennifer Lopez, who is also a minority on top of that. How important would that be for the city and for sports in general to open that door to her?
Especially, not just female, Puerto Rican, yeah, female in New York City. It's, you know, it's perfect. Let's put it this way. In terms of the symbolism of things and how that matters, my eldest daughter who plays basketball, they grow fast at this age, she's almost 12, outgrew her basketball sneakers. Mm-hmm. So we're looking online last night for new sneakers. So we're looking at KDs and Kyries and all this, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. The Seattle Storm just won that WNBA championship. They got a slew of stars on that team. Do they have any, you know, Sue Birds or, mm-hmm, right, Breonna Stewart's or something like that? No, they don't. Sue Bird has one collab with Kyrie. There are no WNBA kicks. There are lots of little girls who play basketball. And by the way, even though you think, no, little boys wouldn't want them, if you make a fresh sneaker, people will buy it, period, mm-hmm, right? And there are none. And you think that stuff doesn't make a difference? It does.
It does.
It really does. If you see no examples, mm-hmm, of someone like you in a certain position, it sends a powerful message, even if it's subliminal or not conscious, it sends a powerful message that this isn't for you. So I think it has significance, yes.
If anyone can speak to that, it's Stephen A., being a black man.
Absolutely. But I will tell you this. I love me some J-Lo. And I've become friends with A-Rod, and I got love for him, and I wish that they were the new owners of the New York Mets. Mm-hmm. Here's where I veer left, and I turn against this idea. Okay. I do not like the fact that Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, would have anything to do with that. In other words, you knew that SAC Financial, mm-hmm, Steve Cohen's company, had pled guilty to securities and wire fraud when he was in pursuit of the team all of these months. You step in at that particular moment in time and you nix it. If you weren't in a way while negotiations were going on all this time, okay, to come in the back door now and say, halt, that's not right.
But I think it's the law. And my thing is, why should Cohen be rewarded for having poor behavior? Then again, it's the privilege.
Well, again, we talk about his company, not him. So again, that plays a role into it's wire fraud and all that stuff. But you were negotiating for the Mets all this time. So if you had a problem with him, step in while the negotiation's going on and tell the Mets, you need to find a new owner. You don't need to do this guy because he has this on his record. To sit up there and allow this negotiation to take place for months, if not years, to let it go through, knowing all of that stuff, for the MLB owners to approve it as well. And then you, the mayor of New York City, who a lot of people got questions about his damn self, by the way, to then come in and say, well, you know what, we're going to nix that because of this security, you know, this wire fraud and all of that stuff. I don't like that. If you had a problem with it, have a problem with it from day one when they're negotiating. Tell the Mets, you not get somebody else.
Yeah.
Sell a team to somebody else because I'm not going to approve this guy.
Okay, so let me ask you this. But what, sure, about the symbolism? Being a New Yorker, being a minority, having little girls, having a minority female owner in sports. There's 150 North American franchises. There's Shad Khan and Michael Jordan.
Yes.
And that's it.
Well, first of all, we've already spoke about this on First Take. We know that I'm in complete support of J-Lo and A-Rod owning this team. I wanted them to own this team. I talked about the symbolism of J-Lo being an owner in Major League Baseball. I happen to know she wants to do it. She, mm-hmm, wants to be. She wishes she was in that position. Well, I got all of that. All I'm saying is that MLB knew that. Mayor Bill de Blasio knew that. Steve Cohen knew that. The Wilpons knew that. Yet all of these negotiations were going on all this time. The fact that everybody in baseball
signs off on this, and then Bill de Blasio gets to come in and say, excuse me, you got a lease with the city. As a result, this guy, his company's got a felony record. So guess what? I'm going to nix
that. I'll say this.
That sets a bad precedent.
One of the
to me.
Hard things about athletes or celebrities owning teams is, you know, their equity stake in the purchase is not going to be what these hedge fund guys are. They don't have the same kind of money.
That's right.
They have tens of millions and even sometimes hundreds, but not billions, although right. sometimes these hedge fund guys are very leveraged and don't actually have the billions either, yes. right? Magic Johnson fronted the group that bought the Dodgers.
Yes.
Right? So that's minority ownership, although if he clearly fronted the group. His mm-hmm. equity stake himself wasn't the same, although his celebrity, his personal relationships absolutely seemed to help with the purchase.
Derek and Jeter. And J-Lo's would, too.
And sure. they're in the World Derek, Series.
Derek Jeter in Miami, and he was criticized, right? But and clearly his equity stake, and he made hundreds of millions of dollars, but was not what it would be from a billionaire owning the, like, you know, putting $1 billion, right? And yet, how did it work out for the Dodgers with Magic fronting the group? They're in the World Series. They're knotted up 1-1. They're in the playoffs every year. How's it worked out with Derek Jeter so far, who took a lot of criticism? He's leveraged, and he's trying to do this and trying to do that. I know they expanded the playoffs.
And I think the Mets will win with J-Lo and A-Rod.
Miami made the playoffs. So, so the idea that, no, there's someone who's kind of more financially able to get it done, I don't know if I buy that. And, I think the symbolism and the kind of sense that mm-hmm. would give people if J-Lo and A-Rod were to buy the team, there is value in that. Whether or not that's the best ownership group and that's the best reason to do it, there is value in it.
That, yeah, but to me, that's not the point. The point is politics is getting involved when you get to pick. Excuse me, you don't get to own the team after all of this is going on. That's a dangerous precedent to send. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I would love J-Lo to own the Mets.
No, of course.
But that precedent,
he ain't rejecting Cohen.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
Who's here? Hey. Friend of the show, actor Omari Hardwick. Omari, always good to see you. And I hear you got a new movie coming out Friday, October 30th. It is called Spell. We'll certainly check that out. We don't have a ton of time, so I'm skipping the pleasantries and getting right to it. And I'm starting off on a tough one here for you, okay? You played football at Georgia. I know you played corner there. A lot of people don't really know that. What happened to your Georgia Bulldogs against Alabama?
Molly, I said going in, you know, here we are in the University of First Take. I call you guys a university, UFT, because, you know, you can educate just as many folks here as any other place. And I said it when I was allowed to talk about it on game day. I said, look, I believe we have Auburn. That's not a problem. But I said the big question of the year, and it always has been since Kirby's come back home, is whether he can, you know, unnerve himself enough to take on his mentor and not only take him on, but execute and win it. It's almost like he just gets to that place where we get a little conservative. 24 points should be able to defeat Alabama. I mean, I shouldn't state that about any other team, but Alabama, I think, being defensive-minded, I think 24 does it. But I don't know, man. Pretty hard.
Look, man.
Pretty hard.
Look, first of all, brother, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, too, eh?
I mean, listen. I know you know, the movies are coming and the whole bit and Molly, I can't help it. I miss you, bro. I mean, Power.
I know, Molly.
I miss Ghost.
It's not the same.
Listen, I love it. You're doing a great job, but I still miss you. I want to know how much you miss doing that in light of all the things that you're about to engage in moving forward.
Great question, eh? I believe, honestly, man, I missed every day of it. You know, I remember Michael Jordan, Michael Jeffrey Jordan saying it best. it's not always the game time action of Tuesday or Thursday night that he missed. He missed locker room camaraderie, the banter, the whole thing. I miss that. I do. You're right. Like, I never went through that before, except in college, when all of a sudden football season was over and you kind of look around like, what am I supposed to do on campus now? So I'm kind of looking at life the same way. You're right, though. I'm equally busy with so many things upon my plate, but I do miss going and coming every day and knowing the everyday consistency of what Power offered and what I offer Power. So I'm extremely flattered. You know how I feel about you and how many times you've said to the world, this dude is so different and nobody else could have played him the way he played him. And it's showing up for some fans. People are like, I'm trying to rock with it, but I'm really missing O, and I really appreciate that. The ghost writers out there like yourself, eh?
Mari, you brought up Michael Jordan. And LeBron James just won his fourth chip, and he played great, and he has revived the who is the GOAT debate. Stephen A. and I are on the record. It is Michael Jordan. Where are you?
Right in the middle of UNA, like I am in that cubicle that the world is seeing me in right now. Michael is it for me. What Michael Jordan did at 6'6", as enough of a point two, you know, not really the point forward that LeBron is, what he was able to do, back to that word consistency, Max, I just don't think that anybody could compare to what he did in the short amount of time that he did it. This guy's had 17 years, Kobe had 20, Kareem had 20, Michael did it in 14, respectively 13, if you really think about it. And had he not gone to play baseball, you know, to the chagrin of so many fans, including probably one of his mentors, and that being David Stern, who knows how many he wins? At least 8, if not 9. So I think it's Michael, man. I just think it was a different thing. I think he used the gasoline of a father in his life. I've told this to A and texting him. No slights to LeBron and what he's accomplished. He's Magic meets Dominique, who can guard 5 people. He's phenomenal. He's galvanized the league. He's made a brotherhood out of the league. All of those things notwithstanding, he gets his due diligence. LeBron's special, but he's number 2 at special.
Yes. Omar, we got like a minute 30 left, but I got to ask you, I know you're a huge Warriors fan, and obviously this year was a different deal because we didn't have the Nets either. Right behind me, we're about to have KD and Kyrie in the mix as well. You think your Warriors are going to pose a threat to those Lakers?
Yes.
Yes, I do. I think that I think it's a good thing, Molly, when a team goes through post the moment of taking off to that stratospheric level that they took off to. I think it's a good thing where you get to the point where you got to not only rebuild, but you got to really look in that mirror and go kind of like this damn movie with my character, looking deep into the mirror and the dysfunctional parts of the team or the home or what have you, and really go, now are we where we need to be? You got Draymond, who was still holding the team somewhat accountable at some point, but with Klay, who doesn't get enough credit to me, and with Steph's return, and with the defensive-minded Warriors, not just the run and gun, but the defensive-minded Warriors nature that they come with, I think A's right. I think they come right back.
Yep.
If not fully on cylinder, they'll be pretty close to it.
Listen, I'm going to say this because we got to run.
Okay.
Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are the greatest shooting backcourt known to mankind.
Of all time.
Yeah, but
without question.
Wait till
and
you see
both
what
Hall
they,
of Famers.
Wait till you see what they do with these draft picks in Wiggins. I don't think they're standing pat. I think they're going to go acquire someone.
They're coming at least to the conference finals last year. They might be in the finals.
I think that's a great point that Max makes, because you got to pad that. You know, that's the point, Molly. You got to pad a great team that was great. And now you set up the fanship to expect that. The fanship in the Bay Area, they expect what they've seen. So I think all of us are in accordance when we say they're going to be right back.
Listen, I know we got the World Series, we got NFL going on right now, a bunch of stuff, but I cannot wait for this next NBA season. If you thought this season was good, now that we're going to have everyone full strength, all the superstars back, it looks like the Clippers might make some
moves.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Listen, Omar, I'm a huge fan of yours. I support, watch everything you do, but horror films? I'm watching.
Amari,
I get so scared.
But you're going
to
see
Amari
scared.
I gotta be scared. I have nightmares. I know I'm old,
but
I
look at Max. Max ain't never scared. Look at Max.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.